time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Hello, listeners. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, we are here.
That was a curious intro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had to fall back from the yeah. I don't really like it. I'll be honest with you. It just feels like I'm summoning fake enthusiasm. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, man. I'm trying to try something different. We'll see. So that's this week's intro. Hello, listeners.
You went with the public access television news program Sunday afternoon.
You know, yeah, it's a conversation.
Hello, people conversation. Of New York City.
Right.
This is
right.
Damian
exactly.
Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And Ali Muhammad. And here we're going to talk about the issues and the people who are in the conversation this week. Damian, kick it off for us.
Well, Ali, we're going to speak on a myriad of topics, some that are, you know, banal in nature and some that are just a little bit, a little bit more intimately focused. But with that said, Mr. Muhammad, how was your Mother's Day weekend?
Well, my weekend was a Muhammad holiday. So it was a Mother's Day. It was birthdays. It was all of these things, you know. Mother's Day was great. My wife got flowers and food and trinkets and things. But, you know, we also had two birthdays, you know, the very next day. So we had to spread it out. Mm. Yeah, so it was good, you know, man. My son turned 21. My oldest, which is a mind fuck in itself. So, you know, it's just ironic that the birthdays fall right with Mother's Day because, you know, for that being my wife's first child, he's like full grown and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I remember when he came, he was a preemie. Kidding
me? Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, my wife had the preeclampsia that went on into eclampsia, which they had to go ahead.
What exactly is that? I've heard about it, but explain that to me and some of the other people that don't know exactly what that is.
Well, I'm no medical expert, but preeclampsia is something that happens when you're pregnant. And your blood pressure rises very sharply and unexpectedly, I guess. There's some swelling that goes along that the slight signs, like, you know, people always say, like, you know, pregnant women feet swell and stuff like that. But that's actually one of the signs that you could develop preeclampsia. And full blown eclampsia is, you know, when I guess everything goes wild and then, you know, they had these seizures and shit, which was a wild experience for, you know, first time parents and shit, you know. So you go in for one thing thinking you got just back pains and then you all of a sudden you are in this emergency scenario. And so they had to what do they call that? When they make the baby come out, whatever.
Induce
labor?
Yeah,
they had to induce the labor. So,
okay.
I don't know why I couldn't come up with that term. They had to induce the labor. And the only way to cure it is to get the baby out. So they got the baby out. He was probably like 5-6 weeks early. Not too bad. He had to stay in the little incubator for like 4 days. And then, he was out.
Mm.
So that baby has turned 21.
Wow. But look at that.
The crazy shit, though, is when all that shit was going on, you know, we had like a the doctors, they weren't being too friendly about shit. They was just whatever, blasé. It was kind of rough around the edges. And then her personal doctor, who her personal OB, he finally got to the hospital and he was like, oh shit, what's going on? And then he heard what happened. And then he went and got his book, like his medical book. And he was like walking through the hall, like in a fast pace, flipping through the pages of this book. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, uh-oh, nigga, you supposed to know what's happening. Like, nigga, what? I could have went and got a book. God damn it. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, to get the manual.
Yeah, so yeah, he didn't really know what was going on. You know what I'm saying? So he went and got the book. Right. And he flipping through the book and shit. I'm like, he nervous. I'm nervous. I'm like, ah, this is some bullshit. But everything came out cool. Everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 21 years ago.
Yeah, 21. You know? So that's when you got to start doing your own soul search. Like, God damn, 21? Shit. What the fuck I've been doing for 21 years? That's when you start looking in the mirror. Like, was I a good father? That type shit.
right.
Did I do all?
Well, did you ask?
Did I do all that I could? No, this is not something you ask them. It's something you ask yourself. Right. Try to check in with yourself. Did I do everything that in my power that I could do at the time? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, shit, that part, that stage, your job is not done, but that raising stage is wrapping up.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, you know, well, got his own old lady and shit.
Wow, adult,
yeah,
full on, yeah. With a lady and a dog,
yeah, and
that's
a dog.
What's up. Wow, that's cool though to have your Mother's Day in line with your children's birthdays, because then it's true reflection. You know, like, it's like, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is proof. I did this. Yeah, that's kind of cool. That's dope timing. Did you use the same doctor for all three of your children, or did you get rid of instruction book manual?
Nah. He rolled out all the way through, and then he retired.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he rolled out. It was the same doctor, the same hospital. It was like the same nursing staff every time and shit.
That's what's up.
So that was cool. Now that hospital don't exist no more.
Damn. Doctors gone, hospitals gone. Like the kids are the only monument to what happened.
We shut it down.
We shut that bitch down. What they say, we broke the mold. Yeah. We broke the hospital. The hospital is gone.
I think hospital was broke. That's why.
That'll do it. Shit. That'll do it. What hospital was that?
That was St. Vincent's.
Okay. R.I.P. St. Vincent's. But so 21. What you do for the 21st year?
It was all regular. You know, same regular celebration. It wasn't nothing extra because it wasn't nothing extra to do nothing extra. You know what I'm saying? So we had to keep it real, you know, real standard. You know what I mean? Got gifts, got cake, celebrated. Okay. We ate good and, you know, and we took it from there. And then, you know, the 21, he had his own plans. Do it, you know what I'm saying? So they, you know, he was just stopping through, you know what I'm saying, for our celebration. But
paying his respects,
since I do still, you know, use the electricity in this bitch, I'll stop through.
I mean, you're watching the dog, I might as well fall through.
Might as well come through, walk my dog one last time for the night. Nah, but it was cool. It was cool. It wasn't nothing extra, nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But it was a celebration. So the celebration was it, you know what I'm saying, more than what actually was nothing exciting to report.
So this is officially the 21st Muhammad holiday?
Yeah. I mean, officially, I didn't know it was a Muhammad holiday until probably like 2003, I suppose. So,
okay. Yeah,
so maybe this might be the 18th Muhammad holiday. I didn't know all of that lined up like that until.
That's still a good run.
Yeah. Until you know, the two ways came out and, you know, I flipped the calendar back to 99 to see what day that was. That was the first Friday in May of 1999, which was the 7th, which that, you know, I got my big break on that day. And then, well, I got a break up that day. And then that Monday, the 10th, I got a big break. So that's the only reason I knew all of it lined up. I didn't know that my big break came on the 10th until, shit, my second son was on the way. And then he ended up coming out on the 10th.
Right. Wow. Back to back. Yeah. That's hard.
So
that's consistency. that's real tough. Now, does the rest of the Muhammad celebrate the Muhammad holiday? Are they in on it, right? They know it's the Muhammad holiday. Have you presented it?
Who? To the kids?
What? To the everybody. To the whole, all the whole Muhammads. Does everybody know to celebrate? Like, yeah, do you recognize the whole Muhammad's it as,
like, the extended? My pops and...
No. The nuclear family.
Yeah, everybody.
Everybody
yeah,
in the
everybody
house.
Everybody in on it, except okay. for Molly. She's April, but she know what it is. And then, okay. my dad and all them in on it too, because he got my brother Jamil's birthday May 10th too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
You should play that number.
Yeah, Jamil was the first May 10th for 2 years before Amir.
Mm.
And then Amir came May 10th. Then Ace came May 10th. Then my wife got a cousin. She had a baby a few years ago on May 10th. So it all rocks.
Damn, that is something. Yeah, something there. That is something there. Anyway, so that sounds cool. So that was, you had a good time.
It was a good time, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's here. Everybody's smiling.
Yeah.
Everybody got some things, you know what I'm saying? And shit, my oldest is about to take his first grown man trip where he's paying for it himself. Going to Los Angeles to celebrate his part of his birthday. So.
Okay. That's big. Yeah. First time out there?
He's been out there with me, but he's never been out on his own since he's been
okay. You
know, of any type right. of age to really, you know,
yeah.
do his own
live
thing.
Life.
Yeah. So that should be interesting for him.
That's got to be a moment, man. I know you said, you know, you had to take it to inventory, how you felt as a parent. I'm sure both you and your wife had a moment. 21, you got one out. I mean, one through the out the door. You know what I'm saying? I mean, obviously.
One foot out the door, one halfway in, halfway out.
Yeah, you know, on paper, I would say right. that's a technical finish line. Obviously, right. you're still in there. But you know, that's an accomplishment. Yep. So yeah, two more to go.
Yes, sir.
Two more to
yes,
go.
Sir.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good, man.
Yeah.
Out here getting it. Yeah. That's shit. Black fathers.
Yeah. Yep.
Black fathering
black father.
Out here. Oh
man. Yeah.
I went to see my grandmother on Mother's Day.
Oh,
so
that's
that
good.
Was cool. We just kicked it.
That's good.
Yeah. It was chill. We was chilling, kicking it. You know. Hanging out a little bit, asking her, you know, talking to her, having little conversations or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty light, you know what I mean? She rested a lot of the time, but, you know, it was just good to be with her. And then beyond that, that was really it. I stopped past this little pizza shop in Williamsburg, L Industry. It's a banging pizza shop. Mm-hmm. It's fire. So I got two slices from there. That was good. And that was it. honestly, that was my, I mean, you know, that was my, oh, my holiday.
Hey, shit. Yeah, yeah. You covered all the bases.
I did. You know, I got something to eat, seen the people, you know what I mean? I seen my sister. She came past with grandmothers, so I seen her too. You know, I got some flowers for both of them, so that was that. Mm. And, yeah, man, I was dead tired, man. I gotta really buckle down and be an adult and give myself a bedtime, like a consistent bedtime, man. Yeah, because I'm not really sleeping. I don't know what's going on. I'm not really sleeping like that. Like, it's real inconsistent, but it's catching up with me. Like, I really feel like I'm burning the candle at both sides. And the thing is, I'm not really doing much except just trying to stay up as long as I can. And then it's not a whole lot to stay up for, you know? Like, you know, it's not a whole lot of outside activity. You know, that's pretty limited. So it's a lot of just, you know, I'm watching a lot of TV. I'm in front of quite a few different screens. Doing some writing and some reading and all of that. And, you know, I got to realize, like, there is not much that's appointment based,
right.
You know, and anything that is really, everything can be scheduled. You know, there's no real appointment based viewing, you know, not really. Like, and if there is, it's all available the next day on streaming, you know? So, like, that's not a thing. And I just think that it would help just to program my day better,
right.
You know? So, yeah, I'm just trying to do that because I'm definitely feeling tired, you know? And I don't like that. What else? I got a question. This is random. But I two random questions. Going some random
two
shit.
Two random questions.
These are just, they're nothing to do with nothing. But I know you said you celebrated the holiday, you had some cake and all of that. And then I was just thinking, because actually I was in your hood a couple weeks ago. I went past this spot. You ever been over by this place called Doc's Cake Shop?
Yeah.
You ever seen that? You ever been there on Bainbridge?
Doc D's, yeah.
Yeah, Doc D's, right. So they got a good red velvet and they got a good banana pudding. My question is, what do you like more, red velvet or banana pudding?
Well, there's only a few banana puddings that I like. My cousin Shannon makes a hell of a banana pudding, and I fucks with it. And my mom made a hell of a banana pudding when she made it. Most banana puddings come out too sweet. You know what I'm saying? So, like sweet desserts like peach cobbler, any type of cobbler, and like apple pie and shit like that, a lot of that shit always be too sweet. There's, you know, some people make apple pies where it's not as sweet. I fucks with those. You know what I'm saying? I fucks with the banana puddings that's not as sweet. So I would go with red velvet because, you know, that's more consistent in its making than how people make that banana pudding a lot of different kind of ways. So I'll select red velvet.
Got you. Any particular spot for red velvet that's, you know what I mean, up there with Shannon's banana pudding or your mother's banana pudding?
I never bought a banana pudding that I fuck with like that.
Okay.
Doc D's, I fuck with Doc D's. I'm not even sure. Is Make My Cake still around? Their whole lineup was cool because it was all butter based, and I'm a butterhead. So if I'm gonna go,
yeah, they still around,
and indulge in some sweetness, which I rarely do, I like that. You know, I like that Make My Cake had that butter taste to it. But I fuck with Doc D's. That's our go to. That's, you know, it's right around the corner. It's like walking distance. They would have served up the holiday treats for this weekend, but you know they're not open on Monday, which was the holiday, so I went and picked something up from somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go red velvet over banana pudding. I think for the for the reason that banana pudding is not as consistent across the board as red velvet.
Right.
It is a lot of different variations. I do like the Magnolia banana pudding. That's fire. Mm-hmm. And then I think my mother actually made a pretty good banana pudding, like with the whole Nilla wafers and things. Mm-hmm. The Doc D's banana pudding is pretty good. I enjoyed it. I don't eat that as often as a red velvet because banana pudding is very heavy too.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's you really know, like you going in, right. Like you indulge it. Sometimes, you know, as far as red velvet cake goes, Cake Man Raven used to have the illest red velvet cake.
Yeah, I saw you had a little special going on out there, slinging slices for the Mother's Day weekend.
he's kind of, he's been a little, I mean, I don't want to say he's hard to track down, but it is a little harder to track down than before. I don't know, unless I'm not plugged in.
He in Harlem,
I remember way back in, yeah, but he's not like at an outpost. Like, you got to call him. And last time I dealt with him in Harlem, you got to call him and meet him, like meet him on the corner, like you buying an eighth. You know what I mean? Like you kind of go, I had to meet this man, like yeah, on the dead end, on the corner, picked up the thing. It was a real hand to hand.
Oh wow!
But yeah. It's not like it used to be. I remember back in the day, he used to have a spot on Fulton. Then he had the spot way up Atlantic, and then he moved. You know, then he was low. Like you didn't hear from him for a while. Then he kind of popped up in Harlem, and like, I don't know if he's got a brick and mortar spot. If he does, let us know. I know this is very New York centric, but if it's red velvet, yeah, I'm gonna go. Cake Man Raven. They it's just a different type of level.
Yeah, I'm not a connoisseur of desserts like that, so
yeah.
I'm not a fair judge of confectionery, you know, things.
Mm-hmm. I got you. I think that peaked for me in this pandemic. I think that's definitely something that I started to deal with. Well, I always liked Cake Man Raven, though. That was just a thing. But so the other off-brand, just another random question. Rank your top three liquors, not by brand, but by actual liquor.
Top three liquors?
Mm-hmm.
Shit. Jameson, Tito's, and beer, nigga.
You didn't even have to do. There it is. That's fair enough. But you didn't even have to do brands. But all right, I got you. So whiskey, vodka, and beer.
Yeah. But I fuck. If I'm gonna fuck with vodka, I'm gonna fuck with the Tito's.
Got
Tito's
it.
Is a happy vodka. At least that's the result. So when I had never had it till a couple years ago. And then somebody right. Shit, you know what I'm saying, you get some of this Tito's. I'm like, you know,
right.
It's smooth, you know what I'm saying? You ain't really got much of a taste or a kick like that. And man, shit. That shit snuck up, got right to it. I was out that bitch like Richard Pryor telling jokes. So
yeah.
I enjoyed the Tito's. Like I'll drink a whiskey. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't drink a lot of liquor. So like hard liquor like that. So if I'm in a occasion where it's that's what it is. Like, you know, you don't want to come to the grown folks party and then, you know what I'm saying, have a kiddie drink. So I go with a whiskey if I'm at the grown folks scenario.
Right.
You know, Jameson is pretty smooth. I fucks with a Macallan 12. But I don't know a lot about them to really get down to the nitty gritty and why. It's just some shit that I've seen other grown folks drink. But if I had my choice of alcoholic beverage just on a regular, I'm going to fuck with, a craft beer, fuck with some type of IPA, craft beers from small batches and shit like that, independent breweries and shit like that. That's fun, tasting, you know, the different kinds of beers and how people make the shits. So that's cool. You know what I'm saying? It's light. It don't hit you, hit me too hard. You know what I'm saying? You can have a couple of them shits and be cool. Like, that never happened and shit. Wake up and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Right.
But since I've been, you know, I've been fasting, I ain't been drinking shit. So.
Right.
I've been feeling good off of, not off of all of it, but. Why you ask these questions?
Man, they just random questions. These are things that I just been, you know, they random. They really are random. And it's really just, I guess I've just been going through, you know, these last few days. As of Sunday, so after I went and got the couple slices of pizza, but I've been trying to hunt down this particular tequila, right? So if I was to do my top three, it would go whiskey, vodka, tequila, mm-hmm. right? And only say tequila because I didn't put beer or wine in it. I was just going hard liquor. If I had to rank hard liquor, that's where I would go. Mm-hmm. I would probably put beer above tequila just because I deal with beer more than I deal with tequila. And I'd probably put red wine above, maybe even tequila too, because out of the wines, I'd probably go red before I go white. Even though I'll do some white every so often.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to find this this tequila. I think it's called La Gratana, which is, I forgot how I got onto it. But basically, it's a Mexican tequila that is made by women.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all women that put the thing together. It's you know, it's out of Mexico. It's kind of big on the West Coast. It's a few places here in New York, and I liked how the bottle looked. Like, they use old Coca-Cola bottles. Like, they recycle old Coca-Cola bottles and shape them like these little green bottles that look like, you know, like the little apothecary bottles. Like, you mm-hmm. know, like the little. So I was like, oh, that looked kind of cool, and I had a taste for some tequila. I'm not even the biggest tequila head like that, but you know, been like, it was a few weeks ago going by, and I was just like, you know what? I'm curious. You know, I wanna make a margarita. I actually started thinking about shout out to Paul Mastronardi.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember yeah. back in the day when we was at the Vibrahams, it would be a moment when he would make these little margaritas, like the mm-hmm. whole office would get crazy. And it was just interesting, like, how that was his thing. You know, certain people become known for something. They'd be like, uh-oh, Paul making the margaritas, you know, and it became his thing. And I was kind of like, yo, how do you make a margarita? I never really made it. It was just one of those things that you either order or you just on the other side of it. That was something I never made before. But I was like, you know, I was talking about the tequila conversation came because a couple friends of mine on the group chat, friend of mine was looking for a tequila to get somebody as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So then it became a whole tequila off in the group chat. Everybody talking about, nah, you gotta get Casa Azul, or you gotta get you know, 1942 fell off. You don't want to get that. You should get this, and da 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 da. And you know, it's
before,
a lot.
Before you move on, how does one? How does a liquor play out?
I guess it's just like anything else. Just like, oh, you know, things become fashionable and then they not.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things. Something else gets hot.
Right.
You know, like, we've seen it plenty of times. Like, if I think about it, it's funny that you were saying that your son turned 21. And, you know, last week or maybe the week before last, I was talking about, you know, reminiscing about Black Rob and Joe Hooker, you know, having records around when I first became legal drinking age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously I was drinking. Unfortunately, I was drinking before I was legal drinking age, but you know, a lot of, you know, how you said, you know, that's, I just seen some adults do that.
Right.
You know, there's that context. That is also what you hear about in songs. I remember drinking E&J cause Mobb Deep rapped about E&J. I remember wanting to try gin and juice because Snoop had talked about gin and juice. You know, like it was just one of those things, right? So if I was to think about it, I remember when Heineken was the shit. You know, I remember when, you know, it goes on and on and on. Hennessy, whatever, whatever, and things kind of play out, right? Right?
But I, go ahead, what you about to say? Wouldn't even like, even though I, you know, Heineken is not as in my world as it once used to be. I would never consider Heineken as played out. You know,
it's not play. None of this is really ever. Well, some of it becomes if it gets become super hot, like. Right. I think there are certain, there become certain liquors, right? Mm-hmm. Because liquors start to become a proxy for wealth, right? So there's certain things like, you know, like, yeah, some people, you know, like they got them gold bottles. They got that ace. Mm-hmm. That's a statement. You know, you pop in 1942, that's a statement. There's certain things that become a statement, and it's amongst the black community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's amongst the clubs. This becomes, if we talking about club heat, you know what I mean? Like when they coming through with the sparklers and the da 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 da, it's certain things that are of these moments. You know, there was a moment when Hypnotic was a thing, and it's not anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that are just forever standards. Hennessy's a standard. Heineken's a standard. You know, whatever, whatever. Some people you might, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's what you go to, too. That's the thing. When you become a discerning drinker, you know what I mean? Or alcoholic, you become a discerning person, you have your go-tos. You have your things that you point to.
Right.
Right? And so, like, you know, like Jameson might be one of the whiskeys I would go to, or Michter's, or you know what I mean, certain things that I might point to, because I know about that. I'm used to that, right? Not even that I drink a whole lot, but if I'm gonna have a drink, then this is what I'll go to typically. That's my you know, you got your go-tos. And so the tequila thing kind of made me realize, one, I don't really drink a whole lot of tequila, because oftentimes when I smell tequila, it smells like a bad decision. You know what I'm saying? Always. Like, it's like, yeah, it's like, tequila and rum for similar reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. Rum is like irresponsible drinking. Like, you're doing too much. Either it's Jungle Juice or Booze Cruise, but it's always a lot of sugar involved, and just it's doing too much. It's a crazy hangover. Even as a youth, it's a problem. You know, like, because, you know, when you young, the hangover, you resilient. The hangover is like, you know, it's a punchline. You're like, ha ha, I got a headache. Now, when you get older, that hangover, that could sit you down. That could put you.
Fucking up your revenue for the day.
Yeah, absolutely. for maybe 2 days. It could be a cautionary tale. But, you know, what I had noticed was, beyond the margarita, I noticed as I've gotten older that tequila's not only for shots and just turning up. You know what I mean? Like, you know, back in the day, like Patron was one of those moments. You know, like we did a few Patron shots. Next thing you know, I was Earling, or next thing you know, I forgot. Whatever, whatever.
So,
right?
What is the tequila for?
They're sipping tequilas now. There's certain tequilas that just, they taste good. They just, it's like any other liquor. All of this liquor is poison, if we're going to be honest about it. It's just, if we're going to be real.
I just wanted to hear the flip side of tequila.
So tequila can be, some people do a little tequila and soda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people do, you know what I mean? Some people just do like a tequila straight, and they just sip it. And they just, that's their flavor. That's their little vibe. So I was like, I don't really have a tequila vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, again, it revealed when I was in that group text, I really had no horse in the race. Mm-hmm. People were saying this brand. I've been around all of them brands. And, you know, again, a lot of those are kind of for show. You know what I mean? Like the Casa Azul has a bell on the top.
Right.
That don't have nothing to do with the taste, but it makes it fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the one, the tall bottle with the white and blue?
That's... Yeah, the one that looked like a hookah. You know what I mean? Yeah, look, yeah. So that's a thing. So and everybody's like, oh yeah, this one is smooth, and this one is I don't know. You know, it all tastes like tequila to me more often than not.
Right.
But I was struck by, because this is what gets me, and this is if we're talking about alcohol, what has got, because I, you know, what has appealed to me about alcohol as of late, and I'm being honest, I don't really go too crazy with it, but you know, since I haven't smoked weed in 9 months, you know, there's that, you look to another vice sometimes, you know, they call that the cross addiction. You don't want that. So, but anyway, you're in the house, so you might have a drink, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're watching the verses, you might want to have a drink or whatever. I'll go back to the, you know, I realize that I'm super susceptible to marketing. You know what I mean? And I realize that when I look at these, the latest Ciroc bottle and flavor. You know, like, which is basically, like, as I always say, those are just, you know, adult quarter waters. But there's always a new flavor and a new color bottle that comes out. So when the white grape came out in the little fly gold looking bottle, I was like, I might have to go see about that, you know, see if it's all of that. Because it was marketed so crazy and they caught me. And I went and got it and it was regular. It wasn't even all of that to me. So that's sitting in the thing. It's a lot of what I do is really based on curiosity. So after having that whole tequila thing, I had I came across the La Cortana, and I heard the little story. I saw the bottle. I was like, well, that's interesting. You know, I want to support a woman, you know, based tequila company. That's kind of cool. It feels, you know, feels grassroots. It's not big tequila. It's not, you know, Quavo or some shit like that. So I was like, yo, let me try. Let me see if I could find it. And it was a thing to try to find it. Like, it wasn't really too many places. So I finally found the spot downtown when I was coming back from Brooklyn. I found the little spot. So I copped it. And I made me a little margarita. You know what I mean? I had a lime. I had some Cointreau. I had a shaker. I've been had a shaker for years because I forget. Some show came on Comedy Central and their promo was like a actual shaker.
I got so
I've
that
had a shaker
shit.
Bottle for a bit. You know what I mean? Exactly. So you feel it, make you feel real when you got your little shaker bottle. You feel like, okay, we really doing this. This is a professional.
I got that, so knowing I wasn't gonna never do shit with it, but it's still up in the cabinet.
yeah, man. You should crack it one day. So I went ahead and made me a little, shout out to Master Nardi, made me a little margarita, had the little kosher salt, hit the rim with the lime, and then put the glass and the salt. I did the whole shebang, and I just had a cocktail. You know what I'm saying? And you know, yeah, man, I just had a cocktail. I just sat there,
James Bond in that bitch.
right. So I'm sitting there, you know, and I had the little thing, and it was cool. And I'm good. I'm good for right now. That shit's going to be there probably for a while. And it was funny because I was very particular about getting the pint rather than the fifth because I don't need all that tequila in the crib. You know what I'm saying? You get these big ass bottles in the crib. Now it's a challenge. And I don't want to do that. I'm not trying to set myself up for failure. So, yeah, I was curious about it. And to tell you the super truth, because I think I did take a little tasted it. Just straight, just to see if it was anything special about it. I couldn't tell you nothing about it. It was tequila. At the end of the day, it was tequila. It got you where you wanted to go. But other than that, I could tell you no distinctive notes. I could say the bottle is nice. You know what I mean?
What flavor?
And the bottle pours kind of whack.
Oh.
It's a Reposado.
Okay.
It's a Reposado, which, you know, again,
I'm saying,
I don't, you know.
So what does that mean? What kind of margarita is that?
I don't know. A Reposado margarita. Because there's other margaritas. Okay. You could do a mezcal, which is, I think, like a little bit more smoky.
What color was it?
It's clear.
Oh, it's clear.
It's clear. So, and I think most tequilas, they want you to do it with a clear margarita, if I'm not mistaken, or a silver margarita, I have to believe. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure there's some cats in the listening right now. It's like, he don't know what the fuck he talking about.
I mean, we had to preface this by saying we don't know what the fuck we talking about. Right. But so that'd be some great content.
Yeah.
D-Lemon cocktails. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Shake them up, shake them up, shake them up, shake them.
You just fuck around and make different shit and review them.
Mm-hmm.
Send this man some recipes.
Mm-hmm. Send me some recipes. It's funny that you say that. I was actually, because, again, susceptible, right? You know, Ciroc came with that summer citrus, right? And it's a nice ombre bottle. You know what I mean? That's what they really get you. They get you with the bottle colors. And I'm like, I'm chilling. I'm going to fall back. You know what I mean? But I was watching some YouTube videos of people reviewing it, and there's this one video. Oh, man, I think his name is Dustin D or something like that. He goes from zero to faded in this shit. He might have reviewed about 10 different things, and it's pretty funny to see. Like, he is done. He gets done for. I'll try to find the thing, and I might post it somewhere. But, anyway, yeah, long story short, these two random questions came from me basically taking an audit of what I did this week. And so, you know, and actually the banana pudding red velvet thing, that was from a couple weeks ago. But I thought about actually stopping by because I was driving en route to Williamsburg. Mm-hmm. I was passing by where Docs was, and I was like, let me chill. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to, you know, I gotta get on some moderation. I gotta reach some chill. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't need that just cause I'm in the world. Let me chill. And then but I was on the hunt for the tequila. So now I was like, these are two little questions. You know, as I was just recounting the whole situation, I was like, yo, what do you like more? Red velvet or banana pudding? And then if you had to rank. And what I liked about this more so than anything is just these are just snap rankings out the blue. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be a whole lot of thought. It's just what off the top of the head. We might revisit this in further episodes where it's just like, yo, rank your top three, whatever, whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is just off the head where it's not no long deliberation or whatever, whatever. It's just what you're feeling in the moment. So that's what that was, you know.
Yeah, see, that's how you say it's off the head, no long deliberation, but you've been thinking about the shit for 2 weeks, and then off the head. That's how your wife gets you when she ready to have an argument and shit. Like, yeah, so I have been thinking. Now, what you think right now on the spot? You're like, God damn, but you already have been thinking for 2 weeks about this shit.
Right, right.
Now I got to come up with some profound shit right off the top of the dome.
Because it's not even really about what you thinking.
Right.
I need whatever you thinking to coincide what I've been thinking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's wild. Yeah,
no doubt.
Oh, shit. But, yeah, so that's that, man. Mm-hmm. What else is good with you, man? What you been? What's going on your side?
I was on a deep dive. You know, you had talked once about how you start fucking with new artists by like their interviews and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I never thought of doing that. You know, I never thought of going looking up these new jokers internet. I mean, their interviews and stuff. So I was fucking with the Dumb and Dumber 2 album with Key Glock and Young Dolph. You know, Dolph is my guy.
Right.
So and I like Key Glock. But I don't know nothing about him, you know what I'm saying, except for hearing him on the records. But I do my deep dive on him, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Watch them in his interviews, watch them the freestyle on the Westwood show. You know, little short documentary about him in Memphis, you know. And, like, I never knew much about South Memphis and North. I knew North Memphis from 3-6 Mafia. You know what I'm saying? North. So I knew North Memphis. I never And you hear South Memphis, you hear Dolph mention South Memphis, but I never knew much what was the difference. So watched some of his shit, you know what I'm saying? Found out his mama went to jail when he was a little bitty old baby, came back, you know what I'm saying? Later, he was grown. She did like 15 years. So it was interesting to get into the backstory of like a young rapper when I'm not in that space like that no more to be, you know, reading articles and catching backstories and shit. So it was interesting to go into his story, and you do get a better appreciation for his music because you hear him talking, you hear, you know what I'm saying, you hear what's on his mind. So, you know what I'm saying, I just wanted to point that out to you because you was the one who said that's what you like to do. And I was like, man, I never even think about watching an interview of these cats. But I actually got a better, I already was fucking with him, but I got a better appreciation for, you know, where he stands, you know what I'm saying, and how he comes off. So that was, you know, I went in on that, you know what I'm saying. And then I realized, I think he got a lot of fucking songs to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, the nigga got a whole bunch of records, man. And
to be new.
To be right, new. Right. This nigga got, you know what I'm saying? Like, he got mixtapes and albums. I'm like, damn, this nigga been popping for a minute. But they put out so much stuff in a year, you know what I'm saying? They just keep putting shit out. And, like, right. Now they drop that album, they drop, a new video every week. They put out a new video for the album. So they probably got about 6 videos for this new album. So they just out here working and hustling. And I like that energy. You know what I'm saying? Right. And, you know, a lot of what he does is a lot of repetition in what he does. You know what I'm saying? So over time, you catch these themes with him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you after a while, you get the joke, you know, because he repeats a lot of things. And and at one point in my life, I would have been like, ah, man, this nigga ran out of lyrics. He just be repeating certain shit. But what I realize now in this era is like, that's what make the shit stick. You know what I'm saying? With the benefit of age on my side, you know what I'm saying? You get to watch what works and what doesn't work over all of these years. And repetition is one of the things that helps something stick, you know? Because it's like, I saw this this debate on Facebook, you know, old head Miami debate. Who the best out of Ghetto Style DJs, Jam Pony Express, right? Now, in my mind, that's not even a fair thing, because Ghetto Style DJs, you know, basically invented bass, because that's where Luke is from, Ghetto Style. They, you know what I'm saying, bass music was invented under Ghetto Style DJs. You know what I mean? Everything that we went to, basically from my era coming up, was thrown by Ghetto Style DJs. They had, you know what I'm saying, the jams in the park. They had Pac Jam Skating Rink. They had Pac Jam Teen Disco. Then they got Strawberries Nightclub. And then they got Luke's on the Beach. That's like everything. They brought all the rappers that came to Miami usually came through Luke and Ghetto Style DJs. So I don't even see how that was even a fair, like, how y'all even asking this question? You know what I'm saying? But what?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What's your question?
No, I was going to say, what's the origin of Jam?
Jam Pony.
Was it Jam Pony?
Jam Pony
Are
Express.
They before or after?
Nah, they the same time. But what they did was they were prolific in mixtapes. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And they just put out mixtape out of the mixtape. But they whole thing was jamming on top of the records. You know what I mean? Talking over the records and making a whole new song out of the song that's playing by what they're saying. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
And they just had a very disruptive ass style. Like, it's loud. It's not safe. It's not polite. It's just very disruptive. It's raw. It's irreverent. It's loud as fuck. If you just search Jam Pony Express in your Google box, you'll come up with a lot of loud, disruptive ass shit that which was is off putting when you first hear it. But What Giampone had on their side was repetition. Like, every time they get to a certain record, like when they play like an old school record like Clear or Body Mechanic or Dance to the Drummer's Beat, they usually jam it the same way. You know what I mean? They got certain breaks. During certain breaks, they say certain things like I got mirrors on the ceiling, got mirrors on the wall, got mirrors in the bedroom so I could see it all with my dick hard. Jump on it. You know what I'm saying? So they would do that same little chant and other ones like it, you know what I'm saying, over and over and over and over. And you'd be like, damn, they've been doing that same shit for the last 15 years. But that's what sticks. You know what I'm saying? That's what, like, this is 30 years later, I remember those chants. You know what I'm saying? Word for word. Mm-hmm. Like, Ghetto Style had records, but you know what I mean? That'll fall under Too Loud Crew, or that'll fall under Poison Clan, JT Money. But Ghetto Style, with all their contributions, they brought us underground radio. They did the first pirate radio station in Miami. So all those contributions, you know what I'm saying? You had nothing to really remember, like no repetitive thing that you remember. So it was just, they was just innovating, but you know what I'm saying? That their credits get lost in the sauce because it wasn't as repetitive, and you didn't have that hook that stuck in people over the years for when it's come back to the recall, they could say, nah, Ghetto Style. You know what I'm saying? So that's what was interesting to me when I saw that debate. It was kind of like, this don't even make sense because these guys have so many contributions versus these guys, but these guys have a more lasting memory because we remember the things that they said over and over. So when I listen to Key Glock, I can remember the things like his little hooks and his little positioning and how he presents himself to, you know what I'm saying? He presents himself in a way like he's like one of them kids that felt like shit. I was the shit. I always been the shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's certain people in the hood that sticks to. Like, you knew when they was a kid, they was a live wire. They, you know what I'm saying? Their mama had them dressed real good. And they were famous as a little bitty ass kid. And they always been famous. And it's certain people like that, you know, that you come across, you think they came up as an adult or came up because of this thing that they're doing in front of the camera or behind the mic. But really, they always been that way. And that's a certain thing. You can't really fake that. You know what I mean? And that's something that Key Glock got on his side, and he runs that path and he sticks to it. So, you know, I fucks with Key Glock.
Hamburger. Remember Hamburger?
Yeah.
Hamburger. I just thought about that. Yeah. You think of the catchphrase, that shit was killing back in the days, man. They gonna remember some hamburger.
Yeah.
Nah, I hear you. I hear you. That repetition, that's your calling card. Oh shit, they go Hamburger.
Yeah.
Niggas forget about everybody else on the lineup, but they remember Hamburger. You know.
Yeah.
It's funny that you having that conversation about DJs, and I was listening to somebody ask the question, who would you pick out of Kid Capri and Red Alert?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's similar. Well, not all the way similar. Well, kind of similar. But, you know, Red Alert didn't create bass or anything, but Red Alert for a lot of people, especially here in New York, but in general, but definitely here in New York, that was like, besides Mr. Magic, like that was the place where you heard hip hop consistently.
Right.
You tuned into Uncle Red, and he was the guy. Right. He was where you got all of that shit. Now, with Kid Capri was the cat with the tapes. He's a hell of a DJ at a party. He was at, you know, Def Comedy Jam. Mm-hmm. It's the Kid Capri, which is, you know, that's his catchphrase.
Right.
And it's a whole different energy. And they are both greats, you know. And I forget who it was. Who was the person they were asking. But they went with They went with Red Alert, you know, just based on if we had to go the chronological order, like Red Alert is like the father to it all.
Right.
But they both obviously got great respect for each other. And I think the person who said, yo, I think Kid Capri would even say Red Alert.
Right.
But it's just, it's funny because it is what resonates. You know what I mean? Like, what, you know, what resonates? What was your experience with these people? Because when I think about Red Alert, I think about being next to the radio taping his shit on Friday and Saturday. And I remember, like, after a while, I realized more often than not, he would play the same show for like a month. So if you missed it or whatever, you didn't catch that record, you could be like, okay, next Saturday, I know it's probably going to be played exactly the same or whatever, whatever. But, you know, it was Red Alert. It was Uncle Red. It was, you know, you a bum, the bum juice, and the you know, all of that extra shit. But then with Kid Capri, Kid Capri, I remember being in, I want to say I was in high school. Me and my man D, we went to a taping of Def Comedy Jam downtown on like 44th Street. I want to say it was at the Edison, 44th Street. These were like, you know, Def, I remember getting the Def Comedy Jam tickets because I went to Fat Farm maybe a week before and they was giving away tickets, or they was like, yo, you call this number, you can get tickets to Def Comedy Jam or taping. So I was like, oh shit, we got tickets. We were the absolute last row in that motherfucker. We was the absolute, behind us was the wall. We was in that bitch though. And I remember one, we were standing online to get in, because that's the thing, we ain't know it's a tape, but you probably should get there early. We got there just in time to make it in. But I remember a couple things. One, I remember standing online and we waiting to get in, and motherfucking Mark Curry came through. You know, I guess he was performing that night. Mark Curry came through with a floor-length white mink on some Magic Johnson type shit, like some real Oakland pimp shit. And he came through. I was like, oh, shit. Like, that, it just looked official. Like, he looked official. But I remember being in the dead last row in the back of the Def Comedy Jam taping, and Kid Capri is getting busy. He's he cutting up the Tribe Called Quest, Oh My God. And when that first comes on, it's like, whoopsh, whoopsh, whoopsh. That nigga was cutting that shit up so back and forth. It was like, it just was like, psh, 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 psh. Like, it was just killing that shit. The whole crowd was bananas. I don't know if we was tipsy, because it might have been, we was in high school, we might have had a little something. I don't know. But all I know was that shit was a movie. You know what I mean? And so, like, there's big moments for both of them. But if I had to pick, I'm going to go with the OG Red Alert, just off of, you know, off of history alone. They obviously both in the rafters. But, you know, that's cool, though. That's one of those, you know, and it's interesting, and because it's different angles.
And, I mean, Red Alert got busy this weekend on fucking BLS. He was rocking.
Oh, wow.
He was rocking. And his mixes was on point. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, now, man. He on,
he on that sounded like, when he talked, sounded like he ain't got his teeth in. But his musical IQ is on point right now. Like, his his shit was moving. Like, oh, like, he ain't doing it like, look at me, I'm the DJ. He doing that shit. He playing the shit that's going to get it moving. And so, yeah, I fucks with Red on that. I didn't grow up with Kid Capri. I didn't, you know, wasn't introduced to Kid Capri until Def Comedy Jam. So I didn't, I don't know much of his origin story, and you know, but, you know, I know he was an important figure in the shit. So, you know.
He was a big dude on the mixtape scene. He was like one of the first to really, like, popularize the blends, you know what I mean? Like the whole Stephanie Mills, Something in the Way You Make Me Feel blend with the damn, what beat is that? Oh man, it's legendary, classic. But he used to put out classic mixtapes that was going for like $20 a tape. Like, he was the guy, you know what I mean? And then you know, like, he just and obviously, you know, say what you want to say. I know he scrambled through records, but like, he'll pay 6 seconds of a record Mm-hmm. But it's something to see, at least the first time. I remember another time I was in college. We were at, it was at, you know, in college, everything is a fashion show slash something, something, something. Mm-hmm. So it might have been a fashion show slash step show slash comedy show. Right. And I think Jamie Foxx might have been on the comedy show, but there was a fashion show or the step show. And, you know, there was a DJ and the DJ, you know, getting the crowd. And this is freshman year. This is when college students are at their worst. You know what I mean? Like, to this day, that's why I'm always weird when I play to college, because I feel like I got karma to pay. But they just rowdy. They can't wait to show their ass, to boo somebody, whatever. So this DJ was DJing, and he was stinking the joint up. It was terrible. And he probably wasn't even all the way stinking it up. He just wasn't Kid Capri. And everybody knew Kid Capri was supposed to be the DJ. And, you know, he playing what he needs to be playing, but he's a record player. He just playing what he thinks going to work. Mm-hmm. I just remember Kid Capri came through, and it was like, it was so performative. He came through like a bat out of hell. Like, he came through, he might have had a hoodie on. He came through with like a little black flight bomber jacket with a hoodie on, and he just went straight to the, he might have had his man set up the crates before, so you didn't see him. He just appeared. You just seen him come down the aisle, or you seen somebody come down the aisle. You couldn't see because he had a hoodie on, black jacket. He stepped to the DJ, basically snatched the headphones off the DJ's head, like, fam, let me get those. Turns around, pulls down the hoodie. He was like, yo, it's the one and only DJ Kicker with the youngest, you know, all of that shit. I'm giving him the Ron G shit. That's youngest in charge. But he's like, it's the one and only. Da-da-da-da. He go through his whole Kid Capri shit. He like, yo, this is what we have to do. Da-da-da-da-da. Talk that shit. And then this nigga played about 15 records in 3 minutes. But it was at the points that you needed it to be. It was just a frenzy. And I seen my man, the other DJ, like, just kind of slink off, dejected. And it was sad to see, but nobody gave not a fuck about him, because this Kid Capri had that shit rocking.
Right.
And I just remember, you know, like, he's a phenomenon.
I've seen that in reverse.
Okay.
First time I actually seen Kid Capri play was in Florida. Pat Nix brought him out, and DJ Demp was opening up. And Demp was killing. He was killing that shit. Because, you know, Demp know all the Florida records to play. You know what I'm saying? And so he out there playing all the Florida records. He killing that shit. And so Kid Capri came on, was about to come on, was kind of, he was already upset because Demp was killing. And he's like, yo, you ain't supposed to play all the hits. He was like, nigga, I didn't play one hit. I'm playing all Florida records. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he's like, nah, you ain't supposed to play the hits, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Just warm shit up. So, you know what I'm saying? But I think that threw him off, and he couldn't never get it together. You know what I'm saying? So it was probably an off night for him. And then the next time I seen him play, we had him for a Super Bowl party. And this was the Super Bowl when that 50 Cent in the Club record had just dropped. So that was the 12 o'clock record that was going to bring the whole shit down. And Kid Capri did that same shit you talking about, 15 records in about 3 minutes. Brought that shit all the way up and then dropped that in the club and then ran that shit back about 5-10 times. He killed that shit that night. You know what I'm saying? He did that shit. Like, I actually got to see that routine, what you talk about, work in that space. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think he ever got to that routine in the one where Demp played, because he was already throwing off.
Yeah. He caught a bad one that time. Yeah, nah, it's interesting. It's something to see. It's definitely something to see for sure. But yeah, man. What else is going on? Did you see that damn Michael Che?
Yeah, I actually started it. think, I'm not sure how many episodes it is. I think I got through like three of them.
Okay.
Yeah. What you think about it?
What you think? I liked it. I thought it was funny.
You go first.
I thought the shit was funny, man. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot. I mean, I might be biased. I know the cat. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? I actually read a couple of the sketches prior, beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. There was some real, you know, and obviously it's a bunch of stand-ups all throughout the whole thing. And it was good to see them on TV. The entire writing staff is all stand-up, so that was dope. There was some sketches I liked a lot more than others. Like I thought the little, I liked the play on the cop sketch where the son is, the mother finds out that the son is trying to be a cop, but it looked like he selling drugs. You know what I mean? He got the gun in the shoebox under the bed. Like I just thought that turn was pretty funny. I liked that they had Ellen Cleghorn for that. You know what I mean? I liked the casting on certain things. Greer Barnes as the father was real funny. I like there's at least twice that he does it. It's just a small little thing, but like as the father, like when he's leaving the room, he looked back like he's about to say something, and then he just leaves the room. But it's just that, like that moment. He does it at least twice on it, so it becomes like a little callback thing. I thought that shit was funny. One scene that I thought was really funny, that really resonated with me, I fucked with it, was, I don't know if you had this, this episode, was when he's trying to get into the club, and he's with his homies, who's played by Derek Gaines and Reggie Conquest. And they in the car, and he turned to them. He's like, yo, can I ask y'all a question? You know, and, you know, when anybody ever prefaces the question with, can I ask y'all a question? It's a vulnerable moment, right? So, you know, because they talking about, you know, his celebrity. Can he get into the club without, you know, without waiting online or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
But, and they talk about all of these comedians and all of that. So he said, yo, can I ask y'all a question? They're like, yo, what's up? He's like, yo, y'all think I'm corny? I thought that was the funniest, most vulnerable moment, man, because that is a moment. Like, you know, you got your people, like, in pursuit of greatness, you know, like, you on your path, you want to be great, you know what I mean? You hear about all of these other people that have done it or doing it or whatever, and obviously, you never look outside yourself for validation, but if these is your people, you want to hope that your people fuck with what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? It's that moment. If you any type of creative, if you're a comedian, if you're a rapper, you know, this is a make or break question, because this could really alter or end a friendship. But it was just such a vulnerable moment. It's always, that's one of those definitely deep black questions. Am I corny? You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I just thought that shit was super funny. And overall, man, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. What you think?
Well, I had to look at it. I'm watching it, right? And I catch, because it's like a duality to the show. You got the black comedy, you know what I'm saying, that talking about black situations and black scenarios. But at the same time, it feels like those situations and scenarios are being explained to white people at the same time as you know what I'm saying, as you're trying to enjoy it. You know what I mean? So so it's like I feel the white gaze all over it, you know what I mean? And it makes me, I'm questioning it the whole time, because it's like, are they doing this for them? Are they doing this to, I mean, where we at with this? You know what I mean? So that's what I was going through. I couldn't fully just relax and enjoy the shit, because I'm feeling like, damn, are they pitching our, you know what I'm saying, our traumas to the people for understanding? Like, what we doing? You know, so, but I chuckled and laughed at a lot of that shit. You know what I'm saying? And I can't say it was good, but I just felt like the angle of it is like, you know, for them to understand what we are, who we are. And maybe that's something that's needed. It's just maybe I don't need it. But I'm going to watch it. I'm going to finish watching the whole shit.
I hear you. That's interesting, too. And, to that point, I know we've talked about this before, but speaking of the white gaze, right? And I haven't watched it yet, but Barry Jenkins just put up like a video or a piece, a movie that's like, it looks like it's an hour long. It's called The Gaze. Mm-hmm. He said, in my years of doing interviews and roundtables and Q&As for the various films we've made, there's one question that recurs. No matter the length of the piece or the tone of the room, eventually, inevitably, I am asked about the white gaze. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until a very particular interview regards the Underground Railroad, which is coming out Friday, that the blind spot inherent in that questioning became clear to me. Never in all my years of working or questioning had I been set upon about the black gaze or the gaze distilled and blah, and it goes on and on and on. But I'm curious to see what his take is on that, because that is a thing. That is a thing. And it's like, you know, I think that, you know, I would like, I'm curious to see what you think after you watch all of them. Mm-hmm. I could see that. I could definitely see both. I could see both sides of that. I think so many things are very pointed that, I don't know. It's weird because I guess I could see both. I could see it. I could see it because it's this thing about, unfortunately, I like when shit is uncompromisingly black. Mm-hmm. I do. I like when it's like, oh, they probably ain't gonna even understand what that was about. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. They, ooh, that went over their head. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. That's an interesting point. I would have to rewatch it and kind of look at it again.
Yeah, man,
I remember you bringing that up with the Malcolm and Marie thing too, which, you know, upon revisiting that, I could see a lot of that too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, sometimes I get caught up in the actual, I guess, the execution of it all. And again, like I said, I'm biased because I know right. A lot of these. I like everybody that's involved and shit like that. But
I mean,
it's a valid point.
That was just my experience. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't know. I had no gauge for what it was. You know what I mean?
Right.
Saw it and then pulled it up and watched it. You know what I'm saying? I haven't watched Saturday Night Live since shit. Since Eddie Murphy was on that bitch, but I've seen clips, you know what I'm saying, here and there as they come up. But I, you know, I've definitely seen Michael Che on the news thing that he does. I've actually used clips of that on Central Ave. So I definitely have. Right. I know some of the work, but I don't know it intimately. So I didn't know what to expect from the show. But as I'm watching it, that's, you know, I watched the first episode and that's how I felt then as the second one came in and it was talking about basically how black people always, like, you know, the Illuminati shit where you got to sacrifice somebody. Yeah. Like, it felt like at this point you're explaining these black things as opposed to just doing them. You know what I mean? You kind of like, you're breaking them down. Like, see, this is where this comes from and this is why we... And which I don't have no problems with that either, because that's needed as well. It's just as a viewer, to the pure enjoyment was kind of taken out of it when it's like, okay, we're doing an educational piece for them to understand.
Yeah, there's a term for that, and I can't think of it right this moment, but like where you kind of like basically set the table for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like when you know, it's like you kind of split in the difference. It becomes noticeable that you're not just talking directly to us. You're talking to the greater community or whatever. Right. I felt like that when I watched Two Distant Strangers. Did you see that?
Two Distant Strangers. Which one was that?
It's the short that came out. It actually won an Oscar.
The short. That's Van Lathan was executive producing on that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Yeah.
They won an Oscar. Like,
they won the Oscar, so salute to them. You know what I mean? You know, good people and all of that. It just felt like it was something more for white people. Like, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? And no shots. Like, I don't want it to be like that. It's unfortunate, but it's something that we already know. Right. You know what I mean? Like, but it was one of those things. That and just a small thing, what kind of killed me was, it was obviously filmed in L.A., mm-hmm. but they was using like NYPD cop cars, and it don't look like New York at all. That was kind of taking me out of it. But other than that, man, I'm happy the cast is getting it off. What to that point, I'm curious. You know, because I'm all about, you know, I like celebrating black shit and black media and black infrastructure and things of that nature, right? What would you say, and this is off the top, this is just, you know, and it might not even really be an answer to this. What would you say the black equivalent of the New York Times is?
The black equivalent of the New York Times.
In the way that, you know, there's a lot of people that feel like, you know, when the Times write about you, you out of here. You know what I'm saying? Or when, you know, you know, it's like the launch pad, like, it's legit now. So
at this point, the Breakfast Club, goddamn.
Right. Right.
What else? You know what I mean? I don't know. You become a trending topic, nigga.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if we have an institution right now that has that. I think with the advent of Twitter and the decentralization of information, uh-huh. and the way that black people are moving with this information, you have certain people that are able to make that move for them. And I think that has become more important than any one place for information now, right. You know what I'm saying, in certain worlds you make the shade room shit. You know what I'm saying, uh-huh. You out of here, but you know what I mean, I don't know, it's on a official, like, it's still like if you make New York Times, if you make the Fortune or Forbes mm-hmm. list, you know what I'm saying, it's still these institutions that, you know what I'm saying, aren't really, I think it's kind of decentralized right now. Like before, it was like you making an Ebony or a Jet, boy, shit, you have arrived as a black person. You know what I mean? I'm not sure what it is right now. As far as I can't recall it off the top of my head. I probably have to go look at some stuff. If Oprah talk about you, shit, you made it.
Right.
You make it on, you know, some of these TV shows, like I say, you get on the Breakfast Club, shit, like, mm-hmm. you made it in music world, you shit, in hip hop, in that era, in that world, you made it. They have be taking over the spot of where some of these deeper publications used to hold that rank.
Right.
You know, sure. A lot of the information is quicker and more to the second than, all right, we're going to do this feature on you. We gonna roll that shit out. It's gonna come out in 2 months, nigga, 3 months. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, mm-hmm. That shit ain't like that no more. Like, so what would you say?
I would say the Breakfast Club. I mean, just off top, mm-hmm. I would say, and I wouldn't, I don't know, and obviously it's not one for one. I was just thinking of the New York Times in the way of media and things like that, but because I look at the Breakfast Club as like, you know, this era's Arsenio, this era's Carson, if we want to go broad, you know what I mean? Like, you're bona fide when you're there. Like, it, you know, it's going to reach the people.
Right.
Right. So there's that. And it's like, that's one of those big interviews. But what I also, just similarly, I don't know if I don't read it a lot, but, and I'm trying to find the, I was trying to find the actual headline, but just on some old Flowers type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. Some Flowers type shit. I saw that, you know, there's been this whole thing about Dr. Umar and Kevin Samuels beefing, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, obviously they both hold pretty singular spaces in the zeitgeist at the moment. You know what I mean? And so it seems as though Dr. Umar kind of like indirectly called out Kevin Samuels for, you know, basically kind of talking down on black women, you know what I mean? Or making black women feel less than. And then Kevin Samuels is kind of, you know, answered back, or maybe not answered back, but it said along the way, kind of taking shots. So, you know, it's been this, like, black Twitter for the most part has been trying to create this fanfic versus of the two, right? So it's been going on like a little bit on social media. Like, this was like a last week thing. But one of the things that I saw was the griot, and I'm not sure who runs the griot, because I saw somebody saying, ain't the griot run by white folk?
No. But I saw... I think. What's called on the griot now? Byron Allen.
Oh, all right. Well, shout out to Byron Allen on the griot and the Weather Channel. Yeah. But so anyway, so the griot put out a... they did a headline where basically... They were kind of, you know, they were talking about it. I'm trying to find it as I'm talking to you. But basically, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it, but basically they put out a headline where they were talking about, you know, this impending matchup of the two, right? And the way that they did it was very much a boss-up type headline. You know what I mean? Like, Bossup has kind of carved out a niche in the game for their wild-ass headlines with a lot of alliteration and, you know what I mean? Like, just some old crazy shit. So so I saw that Griot put it out, and a lot of people was calling him on that. Like, yo, what's going on? Like, I even see people calling people over at Bossup. Yo, what's popping? Y'all need to go ahead and, you know what I mean? Shout out to my man Rondell. He was like, yo, y'all need to go ahead and protect your corners. So then, so then Bossup went ahead and tweeted, you know, they were like, nice try. We got it though. And they said, ashy oncologist, spell onk, A-N-K-H, you know, the onk. Ashy oncologist, Dr. Umar Johnson, and chauvinist charlatan Kevin Samuels battle for broadband supremacy in Sham Lee's Pretenders Indignity War. You know, and it was just, and out, and you know, and you read the story was funny too, but it was just one of those moments where it was like, it reminded you like, oh, nah, there's a thriving black media out there. You know what I'm saying? Getting their shit off and like, you know, in a way that's very pointed and singular. You know what I'm saying? So like that kind of, so I would count them in it. You know, there's, you know, very smart brothers. I'm not sure if they're still around. I think they are, but they got a thing. Like, to your point, there's a lot of like, obviously they're not on the super duper infrastructure level of the New York Times, but there are voices, and they're not always attached to a platform. They might just be a voice.
Right, a voice.
That's just funny as shit. Yeah.
And,
so, but,
and then a lot of it is not as objective as, you know what I'm saying, as you would like your journalism to be. But, but, you know what I'm saying, we got to go with the voices that we have and, you know, again, craft out your own little spaces for the sides that you want to see both sides. You want to be able to see it in a way that's not just linked all the way one way, you know, sometimes. So,
right.
I mean, we got a long way to go. I think Blavity is trying to, you know, work their way into the space like that. You know what I mean? And in some respects they have, you know, you got Baller Alert who holds down their certain corners in that space.
Right.
Shit. On a low level, when you start getting down to the very lower levels of, not lower levels of celebrity, when you get more into the micro celebrity type of space, like even local celebrity type of space, You got the thriving lipstick alleys is still out here, you know what I'm saying, serving up information from the ghetto streets. So
the ghetto streets.
You know what I'm saying? They'll have info on a motherfucker that's just got a hair salon and you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In an odd town, you know what I mean? Because they people want to know. And it just be interesting, like, oh shit, you know what I'm saying?
That's a hell of a beat. The hair salon in the odd town,
you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, in Kansas City, you know what I mean? Such with the sell the hair weave and date this drug dealer here and blah blah blah, and he bought her a G-Wagon for her birthday and shit. You like, damn, who knew? You know,
right. Now you know. Now you informed.
So they hold down like it's sometimes you'll Google somebody who's not that famous,
mm-hmm.
and they shit will pop up first. You be like, damn, okay, Lipstick Alley with the info. You know, like even when Lori Harvey started to pop, right? It's not a whole lot of information out there on her. You know what I'm saying? It's not a whole lot of interviews. It's not a whole lot of big press on her. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times what you get is information from these types of platforms where it's just chatter. You know, and you got to sort through it and kind of filter, you know, what's real and what's not. But it's information when you're trying to piece a story together. And that's important, too. But, you know.
Yeah. I literally just heard Lori Harvey speak for the first time this past week in a video. I was like, wow. I was like, I don't believe I've ever heard her speak before.
Right. And you would think, you know what I'm saying, it would be more stuff. Like when we're doing the show, it's like Lori Harvey started to crack and it's like you pulling together this stuff and it's like, it's not a whole lot of stuff out there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She's a recent phenomenon.
Right. And I almost respect it. No doubt. Like let the chatter, do the chatter. I'm a chill. I'm a fall back. I'm a, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Because
she was just out here doing her. Like, you know what I'm saying? And the chatter was doing the chatter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it catapulted her to a space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the underground media. I guess we still, you know what I'm saying, we still have a ways to go for like an established, you know, I guess you got Rolling Out that's out there.
Right. Shout out to them.
You know, but like an authoritative voice in media, we don't really have a strong one that's objective and that I can recall off the top of the dome. Now, I'll probably turn off the mic and be like, ah, damn, I forgot about it. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Yeah.
That's going to suck.
And, you know, shout out to Essence and, you know, places like that. A Revolt is trying to do a few things. BET is trying to, you know, but, like, something that's been just, the brands have been around and there's been times where, you know, but, like, just a full-on stalwart, I guess is the word, like, where it's just been, you know, it's just there. It's just the institution consistently there.
Mm-hmm.
When you go there, it is what it is. It is what it's going to be. But, because the white gaze is tiring. It's tiring. We should. It's corny to, like, look outside for the validation. But at the same time, it's sad because sometimes it's like the people don't take you seriously until you validated by, you know what I mean, the white folk, which is. You know, it's like it's catch 22 sometimes.
I guess that's in entertainment business or, you know, pop culture.
It's like even if we take it out of entertainment, it's just kind of like it's like how they say. And I guess this might be entertainment, not even entertainment. But it's like when you leave your hood and people will receive you better outside of your hood till now when you come back. They're like, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like wherever you came from, you went to somewhere, a bigger market or whatever. Sometimes it's like, you know, I don't know. It's always about internal validation anyway. Right. And just do the work because when it gets covered, it gets covered.
Right.
Whenever it gets covered.
And the happiest people that I know, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They do that shit in whatever bubble they in and they stick with mm-hmm. it, and they're happy to be where they at. You know what I'm saying? They may, you know what I'm saying, they may have aspirations to grow other places, but they're not changing and compromising to do that. They could stay right where they at doing the shit what they do and make their living how they make it. And, mm-hmm. like, that's some of the happiest people I know. They not looking for, you know what I'm saying, you to validate them in no other kind of way except for we here, it's Friday, we frying fish, you know what I'm saying? We got a birthday cake on the table. Everybody's here that's supposed to be here. You know what I'm saying? And then you ain't here, then it don't matter, you know? Right. And those, like, to be able to be good in your space, wherever it is and however it is a major thing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, it ain't that everything's all good, but you good where you at, doing it how you do it. Like, that's what Uncle Jerome was before he started fucking with Franklin.
Right.
He was happy in content. His own world. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Good.
Yep.
You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Was the man.
Enjoying it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Had his old lady. You know what I'm saying? They get into some ghetto shenanigans. His homeboys come by, play the music. Fire up the grill, lift some weights. Psh, what? It's all good.
Yeah.
And you could do that. You know what I mean? You could be good. And it's like we get it twisted and we dream so big that we can't be happy in the places where we at before we get to the dream. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I had a conversation once and it was just like, you know, dog, really? All nigga really want, that all the nigga really need out this shit is nice house. You know what I'm saying? That ain't got to be big, but it's nice. You know what I mean? You got a little yard. You got your grill. You know what I'm saying? Got a $100,000 vehicle. You know what I'm saying? Got enough to buy you a watch on your birthday. Take a few trips. That's good life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that don't take a whole lot. You know what I mean? It don't take millions to get that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That, you know, right. That's 200 grand, 250 grand a year. You could be doing all of that. A few trips, nice Rolex, every birthday, a nice car. You good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We let the dream make us not be good. Cause damn, I ain't got my girl 50 Birkins yet and shit, nigga. Right. Then you can't even be happy with your little house you got in the grill and your nice yard and your one Mercedes Benz drop. You can't even be happy with it because you like, damn, that nigga pulled up on me in the Rolls. Man. You know? We got our dreams have exceeded our motherfucking life station. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because what'll really blow your mind is there's somebody that's doing it for even half that. Somebody with a $40,000 car.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean?
And having
from Macy's. Enjoying life. Because exactly. It's just enjoy the life.
Exactly.
You know? And yeah, you get so caught up. I think it's very easy to get caught up in the pursuit. And you realize, you know, the blessing is in the life, in the work, in all of that. Like they, you know, they say that, you know, there's your birthday and your death date and your life is the dash in between.
Right.
So relish in that shit. Be present, you know.
And funny, man, funny thing is like my next, that's where I'm at with it. Like my next ventures and thought process and projects fall within that space of, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm good, right? I'm good where I'm at. You know what I mean? I'm good doing what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? And that's the basis of it. Like, you know, like my early basis, like 21st Century Hustle was about, like, nigga, you got to go get to it. Nigga, there's some next shit happening that you ain't up on. Like, you know what I'm saying? You could just stay doing that shit over and over and over, and then you end up still no motherfucking way and ain't made no experiences, ain't spent no time with nobody important, just was moving around, doing shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my next phase going into where I'm headed is all about being, you know what I'm saying, good in the shit. Wherever you at with it, you got to be good and do that shit from where you at and let all that other shit come how it come. You know what I'm saying? But be good, because that's the beauty in the life is right there in the life at the present moment. The beauty is in the present. No matter if the shit is going good, if it's going bad, you got to find the beauty in wherever you at. Like, if you had a fucked up day, shit, you might be able to take 15 minutes to just enjoy the motherfucking sunset, man, and refresh, eat you some dinner, go your ass to sleep, knowing that shit, all right, I made it through the day. Hopefully I'll wake up tomorrow, and this shit was good because I had the opportunity to motherfucking play the game. And then tomorrow I'm going to play it again.
Yeah. Enjoy your red velvet and sip that margarita.
You know what I'm saying?
You're good. You know what I mean?
Word
Shit, man. We about to transform it. This is about week three. I still at some point want to get into Godfather of Harlem. Are you watching?
Yeah, I'm caught up.
You caught up? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess we'll get into that next week. We already kind of deep into it. Yeah. I don't think anything else I want to say before we get out of here. I think that's it. Unless you got something you know what I mean? You want to.
I just said what I need to say.
Said the benediction. All right, well, shit. It definitely felt like it. I think we good. I think we could close our Bibles. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You know how they hit you with the vamp out. As always, you know, it's great talking to y'all. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.